gold standard.
Welcome to the Dr. Hedberg Show for cutting-edge practical health information. For the latest articles, videos, and podcasts, visit drhedberg.com. That's drhedberg.com. The information in this show is intended for educational purposes only. Always consult your healthcare professional before attempting anything recommended in this program. And now, here's Dr. Hedberg.
Well, greetings, friends. This is Dr. Hedberg, and welcome to the Dr. Hedberg Show. In today's episode, I'm going to be covering a study that looked at low-carbohydrate diets and Hashimoto's disease. So there are a number of diets out there that are purported to help Hashimoto's disease, like the autoimmune paleo diet, the paleo diet, ketogenic diet, vegan diet, all types of diets for Hashimoto's. Without a lot of research on any of those in relation to Hashimoto's disease. So we finally have one that we can look at. And this paper was called Effects of Low-Carbohydrate Diet Therapy in Overweight Subjects with Autoimmune Thyroiditis, Possible Synergism with CHREBP. And basically they just looked at the effects of a restricted low-carbohydrate diet on Hashimoto's. So let's jump in. So we had 180 patients with Hashimoto's disease, 84 males and 96 females between the ages of 30 and 45. The blood tests performed were TSH, free T4, free T3, antithyroid peroxidase antibodies, also known as the TPO antibodies, antimicrosomal antibodies, and antithyroglobulin antibodies. They looked at their body composition through bioimpedance that measures body fat percentage, total body water, and fat-free mass. So the patients of mine know that we check your body fat percentage and total body water in the office, and then I also recommend a scale for people to use at home, and this gives us a good view of body fat percentage, which is, of course, more important than body weight, because the more muscle you have, the more you're going to weigh. And so we're not interested in weight. We're interested in how much fat someone has on the body. So there was we had 108 patients of the 180. This was the control group, meaning that they were the ones that were actually put on the diet. And so the diet was about 12 to 15% carbohydrates, 50 to 60% protein, so very high protein, and 25 to 30% fat. So that's pretty high protein, moderate fat, low carb. They were instructed to eat mainly leafy greens and what they called other types of vegetables, but they didn't specify exactly which ones. But they did have them eat other types of vegetables that were not considered to be goitrogenic. So goitrogenic foods can inhibit iodine utilization by the thyroid gland, and that can lead to a goiter and thyroid imbalances. The authors do correctly note, though, that cooking goitrogenic foods completely eliminates any goitrogenic effects that those foods have. And the control group, they were told to also completely avoid legumes, dairy products, bread, pasta, eggs, fruits, and rice. And they were instructed to only eat lean white and red meats. So this diet was basically meat and vegetables. So they followed the diet for 3 weeks, and then they rechecked their bioimpedance tests as well as their thyroid antibodies and thyroid hormone tests. Now the other group, there were 72 patients left, they followed a simple low-calorie diet without any food restrictions. And these patients were also retested after just 3 weeks with all the exact same blood tests. So they found that there was no statistically significant difference, no changes in the TSH, free T4, and free T3 in either group after 3 weeks. The group that ate the low-calorie diet but with no food restrictions only showed a statistically significant change in body weight, lean mass, and body mass index. And we would expect that because anyone who's going to reduce their calories is going to lose weight after just 3 weeks. Now, they also lost muscle mass, so that's not a good thing. That's one of the biggest problems with dieting is the loss of muscle mass. That's the last thing we want to do for our bodies is to reduce muscle. Now, this group that ate the low-calorie diet but with no food restrictions, they did show a statistically significant increase in their thyroid antibody levels, and that was the antithyroglobulin and antimicrosomal antibodies. So those went up, but the TPO antibodies did not change. So now let's contrast that to the group that followed the restricted diet. They showed a significant decrease in all three thyroid antibody levels. So all those markers got better. They lost body fat, of course, total body weight, and there was a reduction in BMI. Goitrogenic food intake in each group, it was taken into account, but the authors didn't really state exactly how those foods were prepared or the quantity consumed during the 3 weeks, so we don't really know much about that. The conclusion is that this type of diet, this is what the authors discussed, is that this diet is anti-inflammatory in nature, so it can help autoimmune thyroiditis. Because autoimmune thyroiditis is characterized by inflammation of the thyroid gland, so it'll work directly in favor. They also noted the effects on thyroid hormone receptors, which was interesting. More specifically, the alpha thyroid receptor. So that's a T3 alpha receptor. It's found mainly in the liver and white adipose tissue, and it's involved in fat burning in those regions of the body. So this type of diet did show it can affect genetic expression in those areas in a positive way, leading to more fat burning. They do also actually talk about thyroid disrupting chemicals on thyroid function, and I have an article on thyroid disrupting chemicals on my website, drhedberg.com. If you just do a search for thyroid disrupting chemicals, I have a great article on that. So overall, a pretty strong diet, but study. But let's talk about some of the weaknesses. So first of all, this diet, it's very similar to a paleo diet and the autoimmune paleo diet, but not as strict. So a few things to note as far as the flaws. So the patients discontinued eating bread and pasta, but we don't know what percentage of their diet contained gluten. We didn't know if any of that was smuggled in. Were they completely gluten-free? Was it 100% or partly gluten-free? So that would be important to know in a study like this in patients with Hashimoto's disease, because we know that a gluten-free diet can help most people with Hashimoto's. We don't know the quantity or quality of the goitrogenic foods or how they were prepared. Some goitrogenic foods contain a compound. It's called camphorol, and camphorol actually improves thyroid function, and that's why those particular goitrogenic foods, even if someone's eating a lot of them, won't have any negative effects because the benefits counteract any negative effects from eating too many goitrogens. Let me just say one more thing about goitrogens. They're not really an issue for the vast majority of people because most people are not eating extremely large amounts of uncooked goitrogenic foods. They're just not. So that's not really an issue for most people and not something that people should worry about. 3 weeks, it's not really long enough to draw any strong conclusions about the blood tests that were done, although all the antibodies did get better. Not long enough to really make any good conclusions there. This diet's also inherently low FODMAP, and so that can cause some issues with the patient's microbiome diversity in the long run. Low FODMAP diets, because they're so low in fiber and prebiotics, there is a decrease in diversity, and that's great for someone who has SIBO, small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, but not necessarily good for everyone in the long term. So that's going to be very patient-specific, of course. The quality of the meat wasn't specified. Was it grass-fed or conventional? What about the poultry? As with all diets, so this diet had no sugar and no processed foods. So everyone's going to feel better and lose weight and reduce inflammation if they eliminate those foods. Also, high-protein diets like this one can work very well because protein has a high thermic effect. So 30% of the calories you eat from protein are actually used to metabolize the calories from the protein itself that you just ate. And that's compared to just 8% from carbohydrates and 3% from fat. So protein does have a strong thermic effect on metabolism. So it's hard to differentiate or really understand where the benefits came from here, because it wasn't just a low carbohydrate diet. It was also a diet devoid of sugar, processed foods, and a number of other foods that could be problematic for some people with autoimmunity. I mean, they cut out dairy products, they cut out beans and lentils, legumes. They cut out fruits that could be high glycemic. They didn't say much about nuts, but you know, tree nuts were cut out. So there's just a lot there that we can't draw a lot of strong conclusions. It was a diet, so the fact that they lost weight doesn't really mean a whole lot. In any case, overall, though, it's good to have these types of studies coming out, because there really aren't that many on, if at all, any on specific diets for Hashimoto's disease. So it was impressive, and that they actually did this, and it was also impressive that the authors do state in the paper that the conventional medical treatment for Hashimoto's is far too simplistic. They point out that all conventional medicine has to offer for people with Hashimoto's is levothyroxine, a prescription thyroid medication, which really doesn't address the autoimmunity. So I've got my summary on drhedberg.com. And you can search for this particular article. I've got some links to the study if you want to read it. This is a free paper, so anyone can read it in more detail if they want to. But the real takeaway here is that this was a good anti-inflammatory diet. It did show reductions in thyroid antibodies in people with Hashimoto's. And everybody lost weight. And so one of the issues with hypothyroidism is it can be difficult to lose weight, but everyone lost weight on this particular diet. One other thing that's of concern is that dieting does slow down metabolism in the long run, and that's why I don't like diets. When we talk about food, we want to put together a long-term plan and not really follow diets, because dieting cuts calories, and that tells the body that food is scarce, and so it has a negative effect on metabolism in the long run. So, you know, this was 3 weeks. People got better and lost weight, but this wouldn't be something cutting calories. This wouldn't be something that anyone would want to do for a long time. In any case, I'll have the links on drhedberg.com, and you can check those out. So this is Dr. Hedberg. Hope you enjoyed this summary of this particular study, and we'll talk to you at the next episode. Take care.
If you enjoy the Dr. Hedberg Show, you can support it by sharing each episode on your social media channels, like Facebook, and by leaving a review on iTunes. Please visit drhedberg.com. That's drhedberg.com to access the show notes and resources for today's episode.